It's in your, it's in the last part of your...
Last tab.
You're good.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, thank you for taking the time to do this. What we wanted to do was present what I call the preliminary budget. So it's pre the tentative budget. It's really our opportunity to get feedback from you in terms of the content, the delivery, the presentation, if there's something more you want to see, if you want to see it differently. And certainly since it's Marin's first budget, any direction that you can give that will make it clear for the board and help me in the future would be much appreciated. So that's why we call it the preliminary budget. So walking through the slides, first slide talks about the anything that could change our or impact our financial future. So it's kind of a picture of what's out there. What I've learned in the very short time here is it's going to be near impossible to budget as accurately and tightly as I would like to, just because of all the factors that are impacting us. So we're going to obviously do the best we can with the information we have, but there's a lot of unknowns out there. So obviously the receipt of the underfunded property tax revenue, FY12 was 14.1, FY13 was 2, and then the 5% interest that was built in, we'll determine that exact amount once we kind of finalize the decision on when the clock started ticking.
And under our accounting system, this is revenue when we receive it?
Yes.
Okay.
And at this point, our fund is put in the general fund, or what we're calling the unassigned. So you'll see that language now more prominently in the reports. The second factor on that page is 1.690 for the Clean Water Coalition. That was part of a lawsuit the county sued the state. And it was noticed in the Supreme Court decision. So actually, it was a footnote in the decision if you were able to read it, but I actually have the language here. The number that is owed to the district is recalculated upward of 1.690 after a May 26 decision in Clean Water Coalition versus the M Resort. So.
And is that money directed to a particular task?
I don't believe so. No, it was just what was due us as part of the tax allocation.
Okay.
That was an underfunded, again, property tax or tax allocation.
Okay.
Federal budget, obviously you've heard a lot about sequestration in the news. We're have a potential loss of grant funds. Us, like everyone across the country, is unclear exactly what that will impact. It could be as much, and we'll talk about that a little more, as 8% of grant federal grant funds. And then the federal grants potential for increased revenue or new funds, which we have on a slide in here as well, could impact us, which again would dramatically impact the budget. And then obviously the decisions regarding the facility acquisition and or relocation expenses, which are continuing into could continue into 14. So those are what we see as out there that are very difficult to kind of narrow down. Next slide is grant opportunities and threats. Chronic disease grant, 1 million for 5 years is out there, and we will obviously be working with the state to apply for that. Tobacco cessation grant, 300 for 1 year. STD grant, 500 for 5 years. FDA grant, 2 million for 4 years. And then the sequestration is obviously our biggest threat at this time, and as I said, could impact grant revenue by 8%. As much as $1 million or so. Next slide, we thought we would list, just for clarity's sake, the funds that are out there that are tied to Southern Nevada Health District. Governmental funds, we have our general fund, which you'll see throughout the document is what we call the unassigned, or what the auditors call the unassigned fund. The bond reserve fund, which we call the building fund, and of course, no bonds at this point, but it is our building fund, and then capital projects fund. In addition to that, we have two proprietary funds, the lab fund, and then also what's called the insurance liability or our workers' comp fund. And then finally, the fiduciary fund, which is the retiree health trust fund, which we are not able to touch. Moving on to the next slide is general fund preliminary budget. So again, we're estimating our beginning fund balance at 6.765. It's based on.
Can I get
the 2013 approved budget, we took estimated operating revenues and expenditures and are estimating the fund balance at 6.7.
And have you updated that for 3/4 of a year?
Yes.
So it's not what was budgeted, but it's been adjusted for what we know so far?
What we know today. And we do expect it to move.
But as we get closer to 6:30, we'll probably be more and more inclined and more and more
That's what I
close
expect.
To where we end up.
That's what I expect. And we'll continue going forward, and it certainly will be up to the audit committee, but going forward, looking at maybe presenting quarterly updates and have a tighter estimate for you so you can see how we're moving quarterly.
And that represents about, I'm thinking, 7%, 8%?
Yes.
Of our annual expenditures? Does that sound right?
Yeah, 66. We're looking at 66, so 6.7. Now, when you add the property tax revenue that we expect we will get, of course, that's an unknown date. We should come in with, and you have the Clean Water Coalition, you should come in with your total revenues at 57,294. Our expenditures?
Because there is a revenue figure that is here. Total revenues is not the sum of those three numbers.
No, and then you've got your property tax.
Oh, I see. Okay, I got it following. Okay. I'm following. Okay.
And then along the way too, if you have suggestions for helping us clear up presentation, that would help. Total expenditures are at about 66. This year we'll be recommending to the board that we do a transfer to the building fund as we have historically funded at the same percentage, and that we continue until we resolve the building issue. But this is the only transfer that we will be recommending to the audit committee. And my expectation is that once we resolve the building issue, obviously this fund will be taken care of. So total expenditures and transfer at 67.3 with an ending fund balance at 14,699. So again, we included the Supreme Court decision. The 5% is not included. Interest is not included in the revenue figure yet. Once we can narrow that down, we'll add it.
So some of the property tax that we're expecting to receive, this large lump sum, should be in the building fund, shouldn't it?
Historically, the money is 3.5 per $100 property tax evaluation. And when that initial decision was made, the initial amount was 3.25. And there was a discussion that then said, well, 0.25 should go into the bond fund, because at that time the plan was that the county would issue a bond to build a new building. And the 0.25 that they added to that decision was intended then to be able, and that's why it's called the bond fund. The idea was that it would generate about 1.2 to 1.3 million a year, which would be used to pay down the debt service on the bond. And since the bond never happened, nor did the new building ever happen, that's why that fund has grown to where it is today.
That fund
being the bond fund.
Okay.
And so there was nothing in writing, there was nothing in statute. People went back and talked to those who were involved at the time and reviewed some of the discussions in the legislature at the committee. And so that's where that historical book comes, related to the 0.25 being allocated as the quote bond fund.
And the health district was shorted cash by the county more than that 0.25.
So
some of what we were shorted was operating funds, not just what we were thinking was going to be for the building someday.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, what occurred is that...
So we've chewed through reserves.
Thanks, Jackie.
And now we're kind of replenishing as we get this cash that was withheld.
And it's our reserves, which we've been drawing down in this balance between how much money in total does the district have? And then, what proportion of the funds do we need to allocate to the operating funds and the programs? And because, as you'll recall, we brought in a substantial amount of new federal grant money between 2008 and 2011, and that
Lori
resulted in our overall...
Hi, Lori.
Hello.
We started the meeting. You have your information?
And it was...
No, I don't.
It was that disconnect.
Okay, it was sent as an attachment to an email this morning. I just got it this morning.
Oh, okay. I haven't looked at my email.
Okay.
So they looked at the budget we were requesting, which at the time, each year, was the full allocation of the property tax dollars. And they basically said, we think you have too much money in the bank. And they just arbitrarily cut that money out of the budget. And so... those are the funds now which the Supreme Court has ruled they improperly withheld those funds. And the other component of this was that in the past, the board determined that we should have a reserve between 16 and 25% of our annual operating budget. And that amount, that 16.6%, the county then again applied that percentage to our total cash amount, and they said, well, you've got more than that. So that again was what they used to determine the fact that they were going to cut our budget, which they did unilaterally. And of course, the property taxes are made up of property taxes from Southern Nevada, not just the county. So if you look at the distribution of where do those tax dollars come from, 50% of them actually come from Clark County. The other 50% come from the five city jurisdictions. So when they withheld those dollars at the county, they basically withheld the money, but they half of the money they withheld, you could argue, was their money, but the other half of those dollars was not. And so now that these dollars have been restored to us, then that's going to help us be able to both deal with our building issue, but maintain our operational program. And one of the reasons we really wanted to have this discussion today was because of the these shifting issues are complex, and when the dollars will be deposited by the county, and the county treasurer holds our dollars. Every month they issue the report, which shows all of the accounts and the money in those accounts. Well, when those dollars come in from the Supreme Court decision, it's going to highly inflate the amount of dollars that it appears the district has. But of course, we have the building issue to deal with, and we have our operating programs to maintain. So we want to make sure that we're being presenting a budget that shows what those dollars are. And then, of course, we're going to be asking the board to approve a budget that enables us to increase some of our program operations to meet the needs of the community, and also help us figure out what's the best permanent solution to our building problem. And we're in ongoing dialogue with the county about trying to sort out options. And we certainly will be presenting additional information in the future about the building options.
During the period of this dispute, did we ever, Paul, dollars contributed in past years to the building fund out of the building fund to fund operations?
No.
So the building fund shows a progressive annual increase, even if we didn't actually see the cash.
Did we contribute to the building fund in 12?
We did, but we contributed it only based on the actual amount of tax allocation. allocation that we receive. So it's 1/14 of the tax allocation. So that's why in 12 we only allocated 400 instead of 1 million too.
So a portion of what we're going to get here, restoring that revenue, probably greater than the standard percentage, which we would in a normal year allocate to the building fund, needs to be allocated this year.
The board has truly would have discretion to determine what proportion of the funds would go into the building fund or not. And one of the issues that was discussed was, given our need to move into this building, should we bill off those expenses to the building fund, or should we take them out of the general fund? And again, these different funds are able to be moved by the board. So if we needed to draw down those dollars from, quote, the building fund to sustain some operational issues, the board could do that. If we wanted to move more money into the building fund from the general fund, the board could authorize that to be done. If the board approves the amount of money that we allocate into the capital fund. And so based on these dollars, they are able to be moved by action of the board appropriate to the needs of the district.
I believe that in the last 5 years, a new governmental accounting standard has been implemented that eliminates common past managerial practice of putting cash in a particular fund and then not including that because it's earmarked in our cash balances.
Okay.
Or something along those lines. You might want to get a quick lesson from the auditor.
Okay.
The auditors on that. Because it would be you've been working governmental accounting, that change took place. I have just seen it referenced from my perspective.
Are you asking a question, Lauren?
No, I'm sorry, my nurse was asking. I'm working at the same time.
Okay, just wanted to check. Thank you.
Get a lesson on that.
Okay.
The other thing comes to mind is, if in the event we are not able to reach an agreement with the bargaining unit and we go to arbitration, one of the things the court and the arbitrator are required by state law to look to is our ability to pay. What is the relationship with our building fund and that perspective on our finances? Does segregating money in our building fund for the purpose of the building that we know we must build take it off the table in the event we do not reach an agreement? I don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah, I think it'll be dependent on the
and it may be
decision.
A little dependent on the decision, and I don't know if this governmental accounting standard changes on cash balances.
Yeah, this is Rod. I have similar questions. I think in past budget sessions we've raised issues with respect, you know, we kind of see this big pot of gold that we have at the end of the day, but we don't, to my knowledge, we don't have any specific reserve funds, do we, Dr. Madoff?
No, the funds that we have are the ones that are outlined here today, and that's it. That's what we've got.
So in the past, the union, the employees have seen these big dollar signs, and the question, you know, why we don't spend more on them or put it towards other things. But a lot of things don't necessarily show up on the balance sheet or in these budgets, you know, things like previously it would have been depreciation on the building, but, you know, things like equipment where they only have remaining useful life and, you know, we got to replace those types of things periodically. Obviously now we've got rent. You know, every year you've got employees that retire and they've got accrued vacation or other, you know, things we got to pay out to them. And you know, then of course we've potentially got the big building fund to the extent that at some point we decide to move forward with a building, whether on our own or with in conjunction with a medical corridor or whatever. And so, you know, we've talked about maybe having reserve funds for that very purpose so that we don't, you know, so that others don't come in and you know, think that we just got a ton of money to spend and try to shortchange us or try to say, well, you know, as Member Beers is suggesting that, you know, we've got a lot of money to spend and therefore we should have to pay the, you know, these collective bargaining units more or whatever. And so I don't know what the solution is to that, but I think it's an issue we need to really get our arms around and grapple with a little bit more.
I appreciate those comments because I think that's actually one of the great challenges for us to be able to clearly show our stakeholders, the county commissioners, and everybody what our financial position really is. And that's why we have this issue of what's the building and what's going to be our permanent home. And then we have this transfer of what could be as much as $20 million that's going to show up on our books. And yet we have the operating budget where we are really challenged to figure out how are we going to maintain services, and our sources of revenue are really our fees and fines. Then it's the 80-10 property tax dollars, and then it's federal grant money. And the threats that we now see from the federal grant side related to sequestration and the future of, you know, these funding sources is a little cloudy. And but a third of our revenue really is coming from federal grants. And we are working very hard right now to increase those federal grants coming to support our program operations. And so these issues about the one thing with collective bargaining is we have a three-year agreement, which is really nice. I mean, that the union, we're already past a year, so we've got two more years to go on that collective bargaining. But that agreement was a very favorable financial agreement between the union and the district, and there was no raises for that three-year period of time. So we've actually, in the last 6 months, had fabulous support from the union. They have been on a day-to-day basis, totally supportive, and they are really doing the things to team up and make the district work properly right now. It's been one of the gratifying components to take a full pile of issues away from my work list. And I've been very grateful for the union for the support that they've been giving to all of us right now.
Well, I think a new building is a very clearly shared goal.
Well, and I think what's clear is that once we tackle the building issue, there's not going to be a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going
to
be gone.
I wonder if we should, I guess it would seem to me that there's two courses of action, none of which we can prescribe since we only have three members and we need four to take an action. It seems to me we can either instruct you to most likely our auditing firm as our resident experts on governmental accounting standards, or have them come and talk to the audit committee at our next meeting about what options are available under governmental accounting standards to very clearly segregate a portion of our cash as if it were already a capital asset.
And that's important because in my understanding is that the county, in making their decisions to withhold our money, did not acknowledge that the bond fund was a encumbrance of those dollars. So they just took the balance in the bond fund, added it to the balance of the general fund, and said, that's your discretionary cash. And so that's how they arrived, calculated
how much they could
cut us that year. And now, one thing that I really am happy to share with this committee, and of course with the board in the future, is that as we are preparing this budget for FY14, we're dependent on the county giving us preliminary information about what the budget for the FY14 property tax allocation. And we had a communication from the treasurer that said, we are recommending that you plan for flat funding in 2014. And we wrote them back and said, and they mentioned the amount of $15.9 million, which is what we received in this fiscal year. So we sent them back an email and said, gosh, we're really pleased with this dialogue, and we're glad to know that you were able to give us these figures, but based on the Supreme Court decision, flat funding isn't 15.9, it's 17.9. And a few days ago, we received a reply to that communication, which said, oh my goodness, yes, you were right, but we've also recalculated our projections for the property tax, and you should plan on 18.2. So the critical issue.
That's better information than I have heard so far that they have told the city.
Well, we were thrilled.
We have the same murky future.
Well, we were thrilled by this, and I was thrilled for two reasons. One, because they acknowledged the Supreme Court decision, and basically that added a couple million dollars to our projected revenue in 14. But more importantly, is that in my dialogue back and forth with them in the last 6 months, they had at one point said, so what are you planning on for 14? And I said, we're planning that we're going to be asking you for the full property tax allocation, regardless of the Supreme Court decision. My concern was that they could look at the fact that the Supreme Court is going to make them give us $18 to $20 million. They could then say, well, you've got this money, why are you asking for more 80-10 money in FY14 since you're going to have all this money on the books? This tells me they see that we have a building problem. They are acknowledging that we have an operating fund problem and we need the full allocation in 14 to run our programs, leaving this, if you will, windfall to be determined to apportion it for both either building or operating funds. So I was very excited when I saw that they were planning on us asking for the full funding for $80-$10 in 2014, because I didn't want to have to fight that battle. And right now, I think our dialogue is indicating to me that they are anticipating that we're going to be needing and asking for the full allocation for our operating programs in 14. Now, as we go forward, we'll see if that is actually sustained. But right now, I was very gratified to hear that.
I think where I'm a little murky on all this is presumably had the dispute with the county over our cash flow not occurred,
right,
we would today, at least mentally, be in a position where we thought we had this much money saved up for our building,
right,
and here's what operations look like.
Right.
And I'm a little fuzzy on what that amount would be if we had not had that dispute, so that we can compare that to what we're going to end up with after this budget and get a handle on that relationship, which has been made more complicated by operational requirements now serving operational revenue. And I think the board will have to be careful that we don't end up taking some of that money that the that historically would be mentally considered saved up for a building and spend it on operations.
What we can do is we can market in the presentation what if we did about 400, so you're talking about another 800, and so you go 13.8 plus 8. And then you've got a chunk out of the $2 million too. I don't know if you, but 13 will fully fund it. So the only catch up dollars are from 12, and we can identify those on the presentation if that will help.
I understand what you just asked for, and we can do that, and we can show that. And the other thing is, because of the loss of these funds, there are many programmatic activities which weren't launched that otherwise would have been launched with the operational dollars that were withheld. And part of our management issues are, again, with these uncertainties of the budget and the building, do we just let this money pile up in the bank? And what portion of it do we plow into the programs to meet these unmet needs that are out there in the programs? And if we don't spend the money on the programs, how do we justify asking for more money? So that's this issue that we're trying to discuss with you today, and that we want to discuss with the board, and we are discussing with the cities and with the county commission, because we don't want to sit here amassing a bank account while we have major programmatic needs out there. That, and as you'll see, in this year we had a big negative budget, and we're going to be having a negative budget that we propose the board approve, and we're going to ask to draw down some of those reserves to make that gap go away, so that we can actually enhance some of the program activities to do things like the whole daycare center, increased immunization, and stop the pertussis problem, things like that.
This is Rod again. I would like to see, even if it can't go in the budget, I would like to see, you know, not only a list of some of these contingent liabilities, but also, you know, to your programmatic or operational wish list. I think getting that in front of the board helps us to see, and it helps the public to see, you know, that we don't really have $15 million in the bank, and it also helps us to be able to kind of, instead of just doing a knee-jerk reaction from year to year, this is what we got now, it helps us to look forward a couple of years at least and plan for the future.
We'll definitely have that as part of the budget preparation. One thing that we didn't have time to put into this for today is sort of an accompanying piece, which is what are the essential core programs that we are recommending be prioritized for enhanced work in the future, and not only in 14, but for an ongoing longer term commitment and vision of what we need to do to improve our public health status and to assure the protection of the community with the dollars that we have. And ultimately, sort of identify the needs to really increase the amount of public health funding in future years to serve this community. And so that's a missing part of this, which is really the budget issues and the numbers today. But it has to go, as you've identified, with what are those critical public health program needs that these dollars are there to fund.
You also, I think, need to be cognizant that the 14.1 million, the 2 million, and the 1.7 million are essentially one-time sources of revenue.
Right.
And to the extent, and as this
preliminary, not tentative,
is constructed, this district would close in about 15 months because it would be flat broke.
Right. And I think that, you know, we've maintained, at least we built the budget with, you know, kind of keeping things consistent from prior years. So we followed the board's direction in terms of 60 to 25% in reserves and the 15.6 needs that. If we get a different interpretation on the cash balances and how they need to be reflected, we recognize that once we resolve the building issue, which we hope will be soon, 6 months, something, have some direction, the cash balances are not right. Going to be very robust.
Right.
Okay, so moving on, this is your, again, general fund, your unassigned balances.
We're moving to page 6.
Thank you.
I think, did she get her
handout? Oh, we checked to see that she got the PowerPoint.
Did she get her handout?
Lori, did you ever open up your email and get that PowerPoint?
No, I'm not able to because I'm at work right now.
Oh, okay. I see. Thank you. Are you able to get it faxed?
Yes.
Okay, what fax would you like it to go to?
676-1095.
676-1095.
This must
okay.
be a particularly painful discussion to follow
without
PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Even with it.
Wait a minute. Go ahead, I'm recording. So.
All right,
so page 6, you've got your actual 12, approved 13, our estimated 13, which is our current estimate, and your preliminary 14. So you can see, again, this is following your unassigned fund balance. Coming up with a 6.7, we've got, again, reflecting the underfunded tax allocation. Again, recommending no transfers to capital, the liability slash workers' comp, or the lab this year. And then just continue with the transfer to the building or bond reserve at 1.5.
So this would indicate a little different than what we just got done discussing. This would indicate that we made a partial. Oh, I see. I take it back. I see. So in 12, there was not there. This revenue. When was this revenue withheld, this cash withheld?
In 12 and 13.
And so 12's actual column, the $56 million in revenue, is short, the amount we were shorted?
Yes.
I wonder if this would all be clearer if we threw in a actual 11 column.
How would you do that?
Would that show more clearly the withholding of funds due to that dispute? Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah, we'll add it.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so we can do that, no problem.
Yeah. And yeah, as we get further, it goes back to 10, actually, but we can end it there.
You might have to do a legal paper with a fold.
We can do that. We'll keep going. We'll add as many years as you want.
Well, with each passing year, the smaller fonts works less well for me.
Okay, so moving on. Next page is just your transfer, reflects the transfer to the building bond fund.
Which is probably going to be adjusted.
Yes, we'll have to adjust this to include the FY12.
I just recalculated it, sir. It will be an additional 1 million.
Between both years?
No, that's just for 14, because our budgeted revenue for that one is 19.8 million minus the $400,000. 1/14 of 19 minus 400 is 1 million.
This will change.
All right.
I'm going to type out and get that back. Okay.
Page 8, revenue comparison. You've got 10, 11, 12, 13 estimated, and 14. And I understand historically our revenue projections are pretty close. So, not a whole lot of change in there. We did have the...
This pretty clearly shows the...
And the only other, you know, significant variance is the moving around of the food card.
And so what's tough to see here, and easier to see, for example, in my City of Las Vegas numbers, is, and it's hard to see because of the county dispute, which is now resolved, but the overall trend in our property tax allocation line has a gap in 2012 here.
We have some graphics that show that, and the ones that I actually had presented to the board, several months ago. But we have a very dramatic graph that shows the decline that we were seeing, and then the big dip that occurred when we lost that additional money.
Yes.
Because back in 08, it was like 28.
And I would think that for your 14 column here,
but we can add that into this.
Yeah, that's good.
Easily.
Good graph. So I wonder if it would be better on page 8 if you had a second line from the Clark County property tax allocation that broke out for the 14 anticipated number.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it is generated currently, and how much of it is making up for the Supreme Court ruling? See what I'm saying? I can't tell if...
Oh, this is actually...
This 18 is just normal earned property tax.
Right. It does not reflect the catch-up.
Okay. This doesn't have the catch-up in it at all?
No.
Great.
Okay.
And
no.
This is another...
But it does have the takeaway in it, which is the drop from 21
correct.
Million to
yes.
5.6.
Correct.
Yeah.
So,
and
then this would show this coming back up.
Yeah. Making sure that non-accountants on the board can follow what normal looks like and what we look like, because, much less what we hoped for back when the economy was cranking.
And what we'll do, we had asterisked the estimated 13, which didn't reflect the 2 million, so we need to go back and also asterisk the 12, which doesn't reflect the underfunding of 14.1 there. So we will add that. So at least it's footnoted.
Okay.
And this is the one that I've used with the board and the jurisdiction. Had we peaked the property tax and kept it, then this is the actual gap of the money we otherwise would have helped to plow into operations compared to the dollars we actually received.
Right.
So yeah, there's I think the it's 36 total of absent $36 million that didn't go into programs had the 2008 boom continued and we had been funded at that level. Yeah, we have all of that.
Okay.
Was there a question on the phone? All right, so we'll address those two. Page 9, revenue changes. Again, your intergovernmental revenues, charges for services, general receipts, and our tax allocation. That kind of reflects it pretty clearly there as well. Now, what we did on your 13 budget, again, it reflects on the property tax allocation. What we were supposed to get is the full value was budgeted. So that's why you only see the $250,000 delta.
Okay.
Page 10 covers your sources of budgeted revenue. You can see your percentages of budget. And again, it's just kind of a different look at. Same numbers.
Yep.
Another look at it under page 11 is graphically.
No C tax for us.
Page 12 looks at the one and two proprietary funds. This is your public lab fund. We got expenditures.
That's true.
Thank you. At 3.4. We added a note regarding